Welcome to CFO Talk. I'm your host, Steve Rosewald, Chief Learning Officer at CFO.University. Joining me again today is Dilip Kulkarni. Dilip is a Director at Expense Reduction Analysts, where he helps CFOs and business leaders improve on their supply chains. Dilip is a business tech graduate from the Indian Technical Institute and an MBA from the University of Michigan. Dilip spent 25 years with Intel Corporation in various commercial and financial roles, including strategic deal director of their global supply chain. Today, we're going to talk about learning from crisis, building a robust supply chain. Welcome, Dilip. It's great to have you on the show again.
Thank you, Steve. Pleasure.
And what a great topic. You know, we've had all this change taking place. You know, a couple months ago, we talked about what to do when you're entering a crisis when it comes to the supply chain. And today, we're going to talk about what to do as we're emerging from a crisis in a supply chain. And I really like the way you teach about the supply chain. Your background's so strong, and you have a really good way of kind of articulating to our CFOs, as well as our other business leaders, how to manage a supply chain. So thank you again for being on. The first thing I wanted to talk about is, what is the difference between managing the supply chain when you're entering a crisis versus when you're coming out of a crisis?
You know, last crisis that we entered was after probably 8 or 10 years of stable growth. So most of us were not even prepared for the crisis when it happened. And what happened as a result is we found some people had difficulty, who had great business and essential businesses, had difficulty with availability, and some people who had to shut down their businesses due to the COVID, they had trouble shutting off the spigot. So we have seen flexibility and availability issues on both sides of the spectrum. Now that we have kind of gone through it for the last 3 months and come to a new normal, it's time to really take a look at what learnings we had during those times and build kind of a new and much more robust system, not only gearing ourselves for the new normal, but also maybe this COVID thing might come back again and have another crisis or a short crisis and be much more prepared for it in advance at this time.
Yeah, I hope not, but I guess if practice makes perfect, that could happen. Yeah. Well, interesting. So you had, last time we talked, you kind of highlighted three things. You had risk management, margin management, and inventory. So the balance sheet, the P&L, and kind of general risk management. I know that in an article you recently wrote for us, you talked about the critical supply chain. Can you remind us what that's about and maybe how we can focus on the critical parts of our supply chain?
Yeah, so critical supply chain, particularly for a manufacturing, is that all the components and services that you need to build and ship your products. Most of us, you know, when we think of critical supply chain, really equate it to bill of materials. But there are some additional components or services like freight or safety supplies is now, particularly with this PPE, or personal protection equipment that you need, have become critical supply chain. So anything that is needed to build and ship products is a critical supply chain. Now, along with that, when you look through that whole process, you will learn a lot. You will identify your critical suppliers, the suppliers who are supplying critical supply chain. You will also identify which parts are custom parts and which parts are commodity. So you will kind of, when you look at the supply chain, the critical supply chain with a new eyes, you will find some of those things that will help you build a better supply chain.
Interesting. Well, you'd also, and that really helps, being able to take customers and products, commodity and custom. I mean, I think that's kind of quadrants you can look at to kind of come up with these critical pieces. I really like the way that flows. You also had mentioned that, you know, availability and flexibility are becoming so important. And we're seeing that in the finance field in general, too. You know, when it comes to planning, generally, being agile is really important. How is that impacting the supply chain?
You know, that's a very good question, because the first thing that hit most of the people was the flexibility and availability. And part of the thing is, again, I'm going back to a little bit, the custom versus commodity. When you are in a custom situation, very likely you are tied just because of the investment needed on the supplier side and your side, that you are tied to a single source, which means that that source is the only way you're going to get it. Now, so it's very important to understand what the availability is in those circumstances. But beyond the custom places, most of us have relied on, even in the commodity market, just on the same suppliers that we have used. And we haven't even thought through an alternate supplier base for those types of even commodity components or services. And it's important during this time to, at least from an availability and flexibility perspective, to have an alternate supplier evaluated and even validated. Because every supplier has slight tweak even in the same commodity, and maybe you need to make some tweaks in your manufacturing process to accommodate alternate supplier. So it's important to spend some time on, once you have the critical supply chain identified and suppliers identified, is to see what flexibility in each one of the supplier, whether it's an alternate supplier or within that supplier base that you have, and in fact, codify it if it is possible with the contracts, with at least some sort of a written agreement between the supplier and yourself, because you are banking on it, whether you're going to turn it off or increase the availability for you.
So really trying to get more flexible terms in your contracts, finding vendors who can give you that flexibility. You also made a point of credit, and there's been certainly in this the first few months of this pandemic, with everyone shutting down, there's some real financial hardship going on. How intense should people be in making sure their suppliers are credit worthy? You know, what should they be doing to ensure that, you know, their supplier is going to still be there?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Many of the suppliers have gone through the shock themselves. But it's also important that you don't look, and you should definitely look at financial stability of a supplier. But beyond financial stability, you should look at what kind of contingency plans do they have? How are they recovering from this COVID crisis? Are they able to get their production fully back online? Or do they have all their employees back online? What their production systems have been doing? Additionally, at this time, in addition to the availability and having the production being back online and financial pieces back, stable, you should also look at some of their quality processes at this time. Because many times there is a turnover in the employees. Some of the employees haven't been as well, or they are not doing as well and have to be replaced by some newer employees. Whenever that happens, there is, unless the good system and quality systems are in place, there are likelihood of exceptions. And these are the times when the quality sometimes can take a hit. So it's important to assess their quality process as well as process in by which they go through a corrective measures. So I think if you are looking at supplier assessment, in which you should do that at this time on all your critical suppliers, you should do financial assessment, their operational assessment, and their quality assessment, just so that to make sure that you are geared for it, for your own production.
That's great. You know, in the last talk, I remember you mentioned on the quality side, you said their quality. So making sure their quality systems are good. So being able to audit, especially on those critical supply chain issues. Do you think there's going to be a tendency as they're trying, if they've struggled, is that something besides people, a turnover in staff, could they use different quality products in their process, try to quicken things up, increase throughput? Do you think that might be something people are going to try to do to kind of edge back and make some profits over the next couple of years to make up for these losses?
I think people, you know, everybody wants to get back on their normal production and make the best of it. So everybody is trying to figure out their own supply chain, how that is getting impacted, how they should react to it. So it's very important at this time, and always I would say, but this time, particularly with your critical supplier, to have a much better communication process. It's important for them to know what your requirements are as well. In fact, I am encouraging every one of my clients to have a monthly meeting where they not only are giving their supplier immediate purchase orders or other things, but a visibility that's longer term to the best they know. Because if your supplier knows that there is a visibility over the next maybe 8 months, 10 months, whatever you can see, things will change. People understand it, but they have a visibility, and as well as understand how their process is going through. Are their lead times stretching? Are they changing their internal processes? These kinds of things you need to be on top all the time. At least a monthly meeting with your supplier, even if that means a 30-minute, 40-minute meeting every month that shares each other's data, is super important.
That's a great idea. And that, I think that there's so many places where that's true and probably no more important than with your suppliers, your critical suppliers, but with your employees, with your customers, all your stakeholders, that communication piece, because there's so much change happening, you can't keep up with it. So having a really diligent process that forces you to do that, I think that's a great idea. Rather than having it happen when there's a problem, I think that's a great idea on the communication side.
I'll give you a quick example, sorry to interject, but, you know, one of the suppliers that we have been working on with is plastic bottles. And plastic bottles, suddenly, the lead time has stretched enormously because many of the plastic bottles are used for sanitation equipment.
Okay.
The hand sanitizers. And suddenly, the lead times and the demands have gone through the roof. And most of the suppliers are unable to meet those things. So having that visibility, maybe you adjust your schedule, you adjust your PO, maybe you adjust your inventory, or have supplier build some extra inventory that they can hold a little while. So all these things we are going through to make sure that there is continuity of supply.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Being able to recognize that before you put an order in rather than after is important. That makes tremendous sense. You know, one of the things we haven't talked about yet is price. So do you expect prices to, you know, with all this demand for certain products and you use plastic bottles as one, what should we expect and how should we negotiate price changes in the future?
Yeah, so this is a very good question. I haven't talked about it, but cost and pricing would depend on the supply and demand of these commodities. There are two things that normally drive the prices. One is the supply and demand of these commodities. And in some cases, there is a very high demand and there is likelihood of price increases in those. We have seen that in glass, for example. We used to get a lot of glass from China. And now that the tariffs have been in place and anti-dumping duties is in place, that U.S. companies have increased the prices of the glass. So it all depends on the supply and demand commodities. There are some other places where the demand has somewhat softened. And in that case, the stronger suppliers are trying to use that to actually gain market share. There is actually a much better opportunity to get a better pricing or cost structure at this time because there is a softening in demand. It all depends on which commodity and which area we are talking about.
I think that relates a lot to the risk management that you talked about last time. So the finance people, I think, can help by having the eye into supply and demand for their consumables, their raw materials and their critical aspects. That's an area that I think the FP&A groups can really help the procurement and kind of helping understand what the supply and demand dynamics of some of their critical products could be to get a realization our product price is going to increase. How does that affect our whole margin structure? What do we have to do? So I think there's a real role to play for finance in helping the procurement and the margin management folks if we can get that insight into demand of our key raw materials.
I think there is one more aspect that the FP&A people can help as well. You talked about looking outside, helping with the supplier assessments, and helping with the market itself. But there is some internal look as well they can do at this time. Custom products cost both. They have hard costs and there are soft costs. We talked about some of the soft costs, availability, lead times. That means having to have more inventory. But it also has another soft cost. It's very difficult to move. It takes a long time to move between the suppliers. So you really need to assess whether that customization, that differentiation is really adding value to your products and to your margins of the product.
Yeah.
And so it's important not only at this time to look at outside, but also inside and see if there is a way to make our own requirements easy so that you can get a better price structure from your suppliers.
That's a really good point. You know, another analogy to that is technology, people installing technology. And when they try to customize the technology, it's almost always a failure.
Yeah.
And so being able to buy off the shelf and not custom. And I think your point is really well made. If it doesn't link directly to the brand in some increased value, then you can pay a lot of money for some custom stuff that didn't bring value. I'm not sure exactly how to analyze that, but I think it's a great point that people have to be aware of is what's the value of that customization, because it's going to cost you a lot. And, you know, when you'll notice it is in a crisis, when all of a sudden it isn't available and you can't get a replacement product. You know, you might kind of travel along for a couple of years and it's all fine, but all of a sudden, bingo, you can't get something and you're completely stuffed because the customization. That's really a good point. Really a great point. As we kind of come to a close on the CFO talk, any other recommendations for finance chiefs regarding the supply chain in post-crisis? Any kind of other ideas that you have that you want to share with our finance leaders?
Yeah, what I think is this is the time. We have gone through the crisis. It is now things are stabilizing. There is probably going to be a profit pressure going forward. And supply chain is, the finance people need to really think supply chain is just merely extension of their own operation. And if you have that broad view, then you will look at the costs that are both in your house as well as that you are imposing on your suppliers and your service people. And if you look at holistically that way, that lot of these issues, both hard and soft cost, availability, risk management, inventory, and pricing are all will come to the forefront soon. I think if there is any downtime in this time, they should really look at both internal and external to building a robust supply chain at this time.
Wow, that's great advice. I mean, you hit so many things, critical supply chain, custom versus commodity, safety, the credit issue of your suppliers and how that is only one aspect. There's an operational piece and a quality piece. Talked about improving communication, how that important that is, and just so many ideas on how to create a robust supply chain that I can't thank you enough, Dilip, for coming on and sharing all your wisdom again on CFO Talk.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's always a pleasure.
Great. And I want to thank everyone for joining us for the CFO Talk. You can get a hold of Dilip. We'll make sure his contact points are readily available on this video. And if you, who is CFO.University? We're a community of member scholars, companies, and trusted advisors committed to the professional development of chief financial officers. Learn more about CFO.University at www.cfo.university.